Napa know-how.
It takes a lot to get excited about a bag, but most bags can't save you 20% on auto parts. That's 20% off headlamps, 20% off oil filters, 20% off virtually anything you can fit inside the 99-cent Napa reusable bag. So tell your buddies, there's a bag they just have to check out. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa know-how.
Napa know-how.
At participating Napa Auto Parts stores while supplies last. Minimum three items. Exclusions apply. Offer ends 10/31/17.
You are Locked On Pacers, your daily Indiana Pacers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Welcome back to Locked On Pacers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. My name is Tom Lewis of IndyCornrows.com, here to bring you the latest news and notes about the Indiana Pacers. And tonight we're going to focus on the Pacers' 115-98 win over the Detroit Pistons at Bankers Life Fieldhouse on Wednesday evening. Big win for the Pacers as they return home after a rough five-game road trip and begin a critical five-game stretch here over the next eight games with a win over the Pistons and help bolster their standing in the Eastern Conference, where they remain in sixth place. But before we get into the details, I want to make sure you reach out with any questions or comments. You can reach me via email at indycornrows@gmail.com or on Twitter at indycornrows. So as for the game, as Slick Leonard said right at the final buzzer on the radio broadcast, beautiful. That was a good win right there, Mark. And that is true. Pacers with a quality win over the Pistons, 115-98. The Pistons had closed within one game in the standings, and Pacers had a little pressure mounting on them as several teams are starting to ride up in the rearview mirror in that Eastern Conference. And the Pacers were able to come home, put up a quality win with a strong effort. Started right out of the gate with an 8-0 run to start the game. And 58 points in the first half. Had a nice lead heading to the break. Started to expand it right after the half. But then the Pistons made a run. Didn't cut the lead. They took the lead 63-62. And then the Pacers closed out the third quarter on a 28-10 run, and never looked back from there. Great win, and didn't have to expend a lot of energy in the end. Because of that big lead, they took the fourth quarter. The bench was able to hold it, and the starters didn't have to come back in to close things out. So Paul George didn't need any action in the fourth quarter. He finished with a team-high 21 points, and was one of six Pacers in double figures, and really, I think that math adds up a little bit better. Instead of Paul George scoring in the mid-30s, scoring in the low-20s, but having five other guys in double figures spread the wealth is a much better formula for this Pacers team as well. And PG only took 12 shots in this game against Charlotte. When he put up the big numbers, he had 25 shots, and that tends to slow things down for the Pacers. Less ball movement, less player movement. When one guy's kind of taking so many shots. So it's kind of a happy medium there. 12's a little light on the shots for PG. He is the guy. And, you know, you do want him to take over in certain bursts. But he continued to shoot well, making 7 of those 12 shots. 3 of 5 from behind the arc. And even threw in a little Mark Jackson shimmy dance after making one of his threes during that big run in the third quarter as the Pacers put away the Pistons early in this one. Other key performance is Thad Young, who had his best game since returning from the wrist injury, and he still isn't able to shoot real well from the perimeter, but he got loose around the rim quite a bit, finished with 18 points, 8 rebounds, and has developed some nice little floaters with this game now. You know, whether it's right or left-hander, he had some teardrops, a little off-the-glass action, and quite crafty. But you could tell on the only two free throws he shot for the game that the actual shot and that wrists are still a problem. And after the game, Nate McMillan mentioned that resting Thad at this point really isn't going to do much good. He's just going to have to deal with this wrist and really let it heal after the season. So I guess what you have or what you see is what you get right now with Thad. And maybe he's adjusted to that and made peace with it and is trying to figure out a way to contribute offensively without having to step out and be a guy that can score from the perimeter. It was perfect against the Pistons, a team that kind of mixes things up. They have John Luehr, who is a more of a stretch four, and Andre Drummond, who plays more around the hoop. So the Pacers had Thad Young on Drummond most of the night and let Miles Turner chase Luehr around a bit more on the perimeter. But it's nice to have those options, and really that's kind of the way the Pistons were trying to defend the Pacers, which is smart because they, you know, likely knew that Thad Young wasn't going to float out, and if he did, feel free, go ahead and shoot it. So, anyways, great effort from Thad. C.J. Miles made 4 3-pointers, finished with 15 points. Jeff Teague only took 5 shots, but finished with 10 points and 5 rebounds and 6 assists. And then off the bench, Monte Ellis had a good stretch in the first half. He finished with 12 points, and Glenn Robinson, a nice stretch in the fourth quarter to close up shop and finish with 11 points. So the Pacers sweep the Pistons 4-0 on the season, and they are done playing Detroit, unfortunately, I guess. So if there was only a way that the Pistons could get matched up with the Cavs in the playoffs, and Cavs had, you know, maybe a couple more little injuries, nothing career-threatening, but just enough to help the Pistons kind of ease their way past the Cavs in the playoffs. That might be a path to the finals for the Pacers. But, you know, we might find out a little bit more about that matchup tomorrow because the Pistons have a back-to-back against Cleveland on Thursday. As for the Pacers, they remain in the battle in the East, holding on to the 6th spot. 7 teams battling for 4 spots right now, essentially. And everyone was in action on Wednesday night. So look at what everyone did, how they fared. Obviously, the Pistons lost, so the Pacers are now 2 games up on Detroit. Atlanta was in action. They won, so the Pacers aren't climbing any further up in the standings. But looking behind them, the rearview mirror is full. Of course, Detroit 2 games back. Chicago also lost. The Bulls are now also 2 games behind the Pacers. But the teams on the come, Miami and Milwaukee, both winners. Miami beat Charlotte, which pushes the Hornets back. So, you know, this may quickly become a 6-team race. But I still wouldn't count out Charlotte. Of course, they play the Pacers one more time, so that'll help them out. But Milwaukee and Miami, 2 teams that are not great matchups for the Pacers, are still lurking and, you know, may very well find themselves in playoff position before we're all done. But the Pacers proved tonight they are willing to fight and try to hang on to their spot in the playoffs. And this week, again, is critical. Beating the Pistons is the first of 5 games in 8 days for the Pacers. 4 of those games against these playoff contenders. Next up on Friday, they travel to Milwaukee to play the Bucks, who have been a nightmare matchup for the Pacers with all their length, led by Giannis Antetokounmpo. So the Bucks took care of the Knicks on Wednesday night and pulled within 2.5 games, or remained 2.5 games behind the Pacers, but pulled within 0.5 game of 8th place in the East, actually of 7th place as well, as the Pistons and Bulls are knotted there in 7th and 8th place. The Heat as well, as I mentioned, beat the Hornets, also 0.5 game behind Detroit and Chicago. So this is going to be interesting heading down the stretch. We're going to have to be keeping an eye on this playoff race nightly and see how it shakes up. And definitely going to be something that the Pacers are also going to be paying attention to without a doubt. So a few more points about the actual game. Again, Thad Young, great effort tonight. He had one of the highlights of the game in the first half, with a little pump fake, pass fake, sent Tobias Harris literally sliding across the floor. This wasn't broken ankles. It was like, you know, double broken hip and completely lost all of his balance. Slid across the floor, and Young was able to take it into the lane and score. Again, knowing Thad's wrist situation, no one should be getting faked on any shot fakes from Thad at this point. They should be hoping he shoots the ball. But Tobias forgot the scouting report for the day and took that fake hard. But to Harris's credit, he seemed to be one of the best players on this team coming off the bench. Sixth man, he actually led the Pistons with 22 points and played, you know, 27 minutes. So he's getting his time, getting his buckets. But on that play, Thad Young put him in the old Twitter GIF machine. I'm sure you'll see it on your favorite social media outlet much of the day tomorrow. And another point, the bench. Lavoy Allen was back in action. Allen actually had a huge game. The last time the Pacers and Pistons matched up. So he came off the bench. Only had 2 points, played 12 minutes. Al Jefferson was effective offensively, at least had 8 points and 5 rebounds. Rakeem Christmas only played 5 minutes. He did play a couple of minutes in the regular rotation, but seemed to have lost out on his normal spot that he had been playing to Lavoy Allen. So we'll keep an eye on that. It's good to see that Christmas wasn't completely iced out with the return of Lavoy. And I have a feeling, you know, that's something Nate McMillan will just simply manage depending on the matchups, depending upon how things are going. I think on some nights you can kind of tell what you have from Al Jefferson or what you don't have and how many minutes you're going to want to play him. But I still like the dynamic that Christmas can give if he can just avoid the foul trouble. Rodney Stuckey also had a nice game off the bench, a lot of hustle plays, had a great sequence where he had an assist to Monte Ellis and scrambled, saved the ball out of bounds. On the defensive end, came back down on the O-end, got the ball, delivered an assist. Into the game with 6 points, but he had 7 assists. And again, Monte Ellis made some key buckets, including a pair of three-pointers, finished with 12 points. So the Pacers got a little action off the bench, although the Pistons bench was big with, again, Harris with 22 points. And Stanley Johnson, 17. As a team, they had more points off the bench than their starting unit. But the Pacers bench held their own with several players contributing. One other quick note, Miles Turner, again, did not score in double figures. Third game in a row after going 22 straight, scoring at least in double figures. Did finish with 8 points and 5 assists and 5 rebounds. And held his own out there going against John Luehr and Andre Drummond for the most part. Asked Nate McMillan before the game about Turner and, you know, his lack of productivity a little lately, and, you know, if his confidence is wavering. He, you know, shot that down, you know, kind of blamed any confidence issues, or kind of said that, you know, only people talking about confidence issues with him are you guys, quote-unquote, the media. And also, you know, pointed to Paul George firing up 25 shots in Charlotte as an issue. But there's also the youth figuring things out, working through a little slump here, as well as a 20-year-old that the Pacers are relying on heavily. Is still averaging over 15 points and 7 rebounds, which are big numbers for a player of his age. But the Pacers are leaning on him heavily, and they're going to need him to contribute down the stretch here and make the impact in some wins down the stretch to solidify their playoff hopes and postseason chances. So again, the Pacers will be in Milwaukee on Friday night to face the Bucks. Thanks for listening. I'd love to hear what you have to say about the game and upcoming matchups with the Bucks and the Heat. You can reach me via email at indycornrows@gmail.com or on Twitter @indycornrows. And you can find the podcast on audioboom.com. Also, subscribe via iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, and Google Play, where all prior episodes are available. That's all for now. You've been listening to Locked On Pacers on the Locked On Podcast Network. You got it.